Welcome to Open Comments with myself, Ash.
And me, Oliver.
Where we'll discuss things openly with our guests from a variety of backgrounds and from different walks of life. Through this podcast, we hope to give you an inside look into a variety of topics with an equal mix of humour and candour. In this series so far, we have touched on the following topics: healthcare, HR, diversity, access to technology, cybersecurity, and lots more. We hope you enjoy our show and look forward to bringing more topics into the fold. Let's get started.
Thank you, Ash. And today we have a very special guest. We have Tony Black. And brief introduction for you, Tony. Tony is a healthcare and life sciences technical leader for Kyndryl, where he works with healthcare payers, providers, pharmaceuticals, and patterns to create solutions which address the business need and challenges of his clients. He has a technical, healthcare, and privacy acumen background, close to 30 years of technical expertise, sales, and management experience, and is particularly strong in application infrastructure and architecture after spending a large part of his career in application performance management and monitoring space. Prior to his roles at Kyndryl, he worked for IBM and CA Technologies. So, Tony, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Now, to start with, please, can you tell us a little bit about your healthcare journey and what made you get into this field, including how you have positioned yourself as a healthcare life sciences IT leader within the industry? It's quite a tongue twister.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Well, guys, when I first started out, meaning graduated from college, I graduated in 94 from the University of Michigan in computer science. And we're talking so 1994. So I just began as an IT guy in the mid 90s. And I was your typical IT guy, right? System administrator, network IT guy. And my first job was with Ameritech. So my first industry was really telecommunications. And I started off in there working with Ameritech, which was the phone company, and working in telecom with ACDs, automated calling distributors, interactive voice response units, IVR. So, you know, when you call in and press one for this, press two for that, so forth and so on, and working on those call flows. I started off in that. And then as I often talk to mentees and others about is my career, I had a trajectory and I was presented with another opportunity. I just happened to, it was 2010, and I just happened to have a couple of hospitals as clients because I had moved to pre-sales. I went from being an IT guy to actually being a technical sales guy, meaning I was doing demos, working for a software company and selling products and software. And I just happened to have a couple of hospitals as clients. And I became very interested in how this hospital was using technology. You always see technology when you walk into a medical facility. Don't get me wrong, but now I had the opportunity, not as a patient, but I actually had the opportunity to stop and ask questions and listen and understand what I was looking at, and became very interested and how the technology was used. I finally got a good understanding of it. And that spread to wanting to know about payers, right? The Blue Cross Blue Shields and how they use technology with their claims databases and processing claims data. And then that spread to the pharmaceuticals industry, which, you know, I got to understand a little bit about their clinical drug trials and drug research and drug manufacturing. And how that all combined with the EHR or electronic health records patient data of the hospital. And I said, wow, this is really interesting. This is fascinating. And I just started diving in. And like I said, that was 2010. So we're talking a while ago. And, you know, the rest is history. I mean, I really dug into it, started We're looking at societies that I could belong to increase my acumen, to get more experience, to network, to meet more people in healthcare IT. And because it was the IT side, obviously, I was focused on, right? Not necessarily medical or clinical, but the IT side. So having said that, I really immersed myself in healthcare IT and have been in it ever since. And it's been fascinating.
Nice. And according to you, what qualities or challenges are present within the healthcare industry?
Well, I mean, physician burnout is probably number one, right? Between COVID and telehealth, which is a double-edged sword, that's probably the top, because COVID obviously put a lot of people on pause, right? A lot of awareness went on, and the physicians were just, not only were they working hard, they were working, feverishly and trying to figure things out as they were working. That in itself is exhausting. And then you introduce something like telehealth, which is great for patients, and it's also great for medical staff and medical teams. But where's the end? You know, I mean, you keep going telehealth. There's no 9 to 5 with telehealth, right? I mean, you have to bake it in. If you can talk to someone at their home, you know, they're always going to be available. So you kind of have to bake that in. So telehealth is a double-edged sword. It's convenient, but it can, but without putting up constraints and barriers, it can also be quite exhausting. So physician burnout is probably number one. And as a result of that, you're going to have healthcare worker resignations, because, you know, things are measured in teams, right? There's medical staffs and there's medical teams. No one really works in isolation in the medical field. It just don't. You see groups and teams of people working together. So it's not just one person being taxed and exhausted. It's several. It's groups and teams. So you're going to have healthcare worker resignations as probably a number two. Due to funding issues, you'll probably have, you know, you're going to look at hospital closures. That's a harsh reality. Would be a number three in my opinion. Taking an exorbitant amount of time for drug research and the introduction of new drugs from the pharmaceutical companies is another as well. That's a challenge. That's the reason why that challenge was met by the 21st Century Cures Act, which was meant to provide funding to accelerate the development of drugs and drug research. And then lastly, I'll probably top these challenges off with the development of AI programs. You're never going to eliminate bias 100%. And there's multiple different types of biases, whether it's implicit or explicit, you know, because we're imperfect humans working with imperfect technology. So it's never going to be perfect, but we try to mitigate the bias as much as possible to have a healthy, clear AI algorithm deliver us results. So probably working and fine tuning the development of AI as it becomes more and more used within healthcare. I'll probably top that off. Those would be my top five as far as challenges present.
It's interesting you mention AI. What do you think the potential of AI in healthcare is in terms of provision of technology?
I think the potential of AI is tremendous. I really do. However, I don't buy into with some other thought processes about it taking over. AI is a tool. It's still a tool. It still needs to be coded. It needs to be managed. It needs to be regulated. It needs to be used. It's not it's not the next science fiction movie. I don't believe that. I'm not counting out the human race just yet. Okay, AI is still a tool. However, it can be a very useful tool, giving us insights that we currently do not have. which is probably the main thing, right? And the reason I say that is because there's no shortage of data in healthcare. Healthcare is data rich, but insight poor. And if we're able to actually develop very meaningful, useful, critical AI algorithms, AI programs to give us these deep, to give us deep insights that we can use to, in order to help patients, treat patients better, cure patients in some respects. That's where I see AI helping, giving us more insight from our data collection, our data storage, our data encryption, the data security. And the AI is the data mining for that. And then, of course, we have the data disposal, therefore, afterwards. But the AI is still a tool, and it can give us great insights to help patient recovery, patient outcome, patient results, patient research. That's where I see it. But it's not, I don't see it taking over anytime soon.
No, you see people talking about AI and taking over, but at the end of the day, it still needs a human to oversee code and make sure that everything's right anyway. So if anything, it's a tool used to maybe reduce the workload of the human, but so they can get other things done.
Absolutely. That can definitely help reduce the workload. And maybe we can get some of those workers, some healthcare workers back who've resigned, who've been overworked, right? That can definitely help.
Yeah. So I've got another one for you now. You touched on your career earlier, and is quite expansive going through your journey of the healthcare sector. What are your thoughts on career growth within healthcare?
Well, I look at healthcare as a triangle. I see clinical, medical, and IT. And obviously, I'm on the IT side. I'm not a doctor or a clinical healthcare worker. I'm mainly on the IT side because I'm fascinated by the technology that goes into healthcare. But because healthcare is all about people, and it's fundamentally a business about helping people, the growth is enormous. I mean, and that's essentially the key here. There's many opportunities and facets within healthcare, whether you're on the clinical side or the medical side or the IT side, but no matter which side of that triangle or pyramid, however you want to call it, whatever side you're on, it's fundamentally about helping people. Anything that involves people will be around. It's going to be around. It's going to grow. It's going to need more resources. It's only going to get larger. And the hope is that it gets better. But but fundamentally being about people, absolutely, it's going to be around. If you can put your career around people, then you're fine. You're in a safe place, and you're going to continue to move and to grow and to flourish. So I think the growth is there. I mean, it's already extremely large, right? But the thing is, and it didn't obviously start off that way, but the growth is there. The magnitude is there. I'm all in, and I welcome everyone else to come on in. The water's fine. Let's jump in here in this thing we call the healthcare industry, healthcare. And I don't want to do the life sciences out, healthcare and life sciences, and let's move forward. So yeah, I think tremendous amount of growth within this healthcare industry.
Speaking of the growth, obviously Ash and I know you, but for our viewers' sake, we know you have many certifications and credentials to back yourself up. And what's the reason behind them? Is it for career growth, or is it a combination of that and, you know, passion for the industry, or what's the reason?
Well, my certifications and credentials, it's for all of the above. I do consider myself a lifelong learner. I never want to get comfortable in my job. I never have all of the answers, and I must keep learning. I must keep growing, because I want to continue to be an active, participating contributor. And so The reason I have these all of these certifications and credentials is simply because I consider myself to be a lifelong learner. Every day I wake up, I consider that an opportunity to learn something new or do something different. And is it always like that? Will I always learn something new and do something different? Some days are better than others. It's not a perfect world, but that's the goal. That's the intent. And that's the approach that I take. And I do enjoy learning new things, doing new things, and moving forward. And the certifications and credentials allow me to do that. They rubber stamp, right? They present a milestone for me, whether it's in technology, privacy, or healthcare, which are really my three lanes that I remain in. They provide a milestone for me as I'm climbing, as I'm progressing, as I'm moving forward, as I'm learning more, as I'm increasing my acumen, as I'm increasing my experience, as I'm giving back, as I'm networking, as I'm meeting new people. It all works. It all builds upon itself to increase my acumen and experience. And that's why I do that. It's all a part of learning. And I simply enjoy it. You don't do this much work if you don't enjoy it. So but I simply enjoy it. I simply enjoy the learning, the growth, because at some point I also like to give it back as well. Through my other extracurricular activities. I like to pass it on and pass it along and help others grow. It just simply helps me influence, inspire, and enable others. So that's why I do it.
I love those three words: influence, inspire, and enable.
You may have just answered the next question.
let's just give it a shot and see.
So we were going to touch on lifelong learning, but I just want to say we really liked your explanation on lifelong learning, but also how you mentioned of not only like helping and supporting others, but just learning something new, wherever you go, whatever you do. And I think that's so important, and really it's a chance for us to not only develop and do better ourselves, but also helping others. There's something so rewarding in that. We obviously don't just do it for the rewards, but it's great to not only support others as well as ourselves, but we see everyone around us grow. And I think that's so important. So speaking on lifelong learning and being an indispensable in today's fast moving industry landscape, what steps have you taken to continue? Now I know we may have just touched on that just now, but what further steps have you maybe taken to continue lifelong learning so far?
Sure. No, always continuing new steps. What I've recently accomplished was getting my MBA. That's only a year old. So I will note that, even though I have it, but it's only a year old. I just got it last year, I completed the program last year and received it. Some additional steps I'm taking. I'm actually currently working on an additional privacy certification. So that's right in my purview right now. An additional privacy certification from the IAPP, the International Association of Privacy Professionals, because my goal there is to become a FIP, which is a Fellow of Information Privacy. And I believe I can make greater strides if I become a Fellow of Information Privacy. That'll be my third fellow. I'm already a HIMSS fellow and a fellow of Academy of Healthcare from AHIP, the American Health Insurance Plan. So that'll be my third fellow. So I do want to continue down that track. So that's what I'm currently doing now. And I do have a hidden passion to go back and get my DHA, which is a doctorate of healthcare administration. I have no idea how I'm going to do that. I do not have a plan for that yet, but it's in the back of my head. I've looked at some of the schools and their programs, and I think I've looked at some of the the curriculum involved in it. And it's just very interesting to me. I'm not so sure if I could replicate it somewhere else outside of a program. But I'm thinking about that. And there's other healthcare and security, healthcare security and privacy programs I'm looking at. So just additional certification and credential programs that I'm looking at. Again, just to keep me sharp, just to keep me focused, and just to keep me in a position where I can not only participate and contribute, but give back in the other societies that I belong to with the board positions I have. So that's really what I use to keep me going. So those are the things, those are probably the top three things I'm looking at right now as far as keeping the lifelong learning flame burning.
That's great. Thank you. And to all our listeners, if you've listened to the podcast before, you'll know that we like to touch on advice for graduates. Now, Tony, I just want to say, like, it's great getting to know you so far, but also your passion and enthusiasm for not only lifelong learning, but to keep on educating yourself and, you know, all the qualifications that you've received so far and you're going to receive as well. It really is truly inspiring. Now, in terms of graduate advice, what advice can you give to those which are maybe, you know, not only recent graduates, but who may feel a little stuck or unsure with what they want to do, or even best ways to get started?
Take your time. Do not rush. You will be working the rest of your life. You want to make sure that you make the best decision possible. So what I'm saying is take your time and look at different things, analyze different options, various industries, various types of careers. Are you a people person? Do you want to work with machinery? Do you want to work in an office? Are you more of a field person? How far of an acumen would you like to increase, right? Are you more so academic degrees? Are you more so certifications and credentials? How highly decorated do you wish to be? It all depends on what types of things that you want to do. But I would say take a look at all of those. You know, you find a lot of college folks right now, college kids looking, you know, they tend to focus on office jobs and things like that. But there's also careers in the field, right? When you're out and about in the fields, not necessarily in an office, it's still a corporate type of position, but it's just a different environment and a different atmosphere. I would say take a look at all of those before you dive in, and just see what it is think about what it is that you may want to do, and then see what's available out there, and then try something, and then don't worry about what it is that you try, because your trajectory changes throughout your career. So once you figure it out, you've tried something, you're going into something, okay, this is what I'm looking at, I'm figuring it out. Even if it's going great, because things don't have to crash and burn before you make a change in your life. I don't want anyone to walk away thinking that. Change is going to happen no matter what. You do not have to wait for things to crash and burn before you change. As you navigate through your career, trajectory changes. You just have to pay attention and recognize it. And as your trajectory changes, opportunities present themselves. Sometimes people take them, sometimes they don't. These are the types of things you just want to be patient and look for and recognize. Have you ever heard anyone say, you know what, I went to school for X, but I ended up here. This is what I do right now. And I have no idea how I got here. Well, how they got there was their trajectory changed as they navigated through their career. And they changed with their trajectory. And they took the opportunities, the new opportunities that were presented to them. That's how they ended up from where they studied in school to where they are today. That's how that happens. And that's a great thing. And you can continue to navigate and make changes. Again, hopefully nothing negative or bad happens. You don't have to crash and burn. But if it does, it does. You pick up and you move on, but you don't have to wait on that either. So that's what I would say to today's college grad. That's what I would say to my kids who not yet college age, but I say the same things to them as well. But I actually mentor college age students in the various societies and that I belong to. So I say this, this isn't brand new to me, but these are the types of conversations that I would have with those college age college students, graduate as well as undergraduate.
I guess that advice actually extends beyond graduates and to people that are maybe looking for career changes, mid-career.
Absolutely.
Still say the same things.
Absolutely. Because, hey, as long as you, again, it goes back to as long as you're waking up every day, it's an opportunity to learn something new or do something different. And that doesn't mean college age. That means if you're waking up, period. It's a gift. Take it.
You've touched on a few things in terms of things you do outside of work. And you've mentioned giving back a few times. So how do you give back?
Great question. I do have an addiction towards give back. And what I do is I belong to about 6 different societies with about 10-ish different board/committee positions. And they stem from organizations like NSBE, which is the National Society of Black Engineers, focused on promoting culturally responsible Black engineers in today's society. There's both an elementary school, high school element. There's a collegiate element and a professionals element. So I belong to that society. I'm also in En-ROADS, which is and I was an En-ROADS intern. En-ROADS is focused on aligning the black and brown college students, Latin American, Native American, African American college students with internships, corporate summer internships. I was a product of that. I'm also in the open group as we talk. I participate in multiple forums, mainly the healthcare forum, but I've also worked with the security forum, digital workplace forum, TOGAF forum, and now I've recently become the chair of the Open Professions. And not to mention working with Steve Nunn, the CEO and team, as a member of the board of directors here at the Open Group. So in effect here also, I give my time and contribute and participate here at the Open Group. The National Black MBA Association. Again, recently after I received my MBA, I joined that association. The International Association of Privacy Professionals. I'm a member of that association as well. The reason that's pretty interesting. The reason I did that one is because I saw a natural marriage between healthcare and privacy. So because I was so engrossed in healthcare and understanding patient information and patient healthcare information, and the privacy around that, that motivated me to go down a privacy path. And I found the IAPP, and I already have one certification. As I mentioned at the beginning of this call, I'm working on a second certification to elevate my acumen within privacy as well. So I think I named about 6 of them. The biggest one of all, maybe, I'm not sure, but HIMSS. Healthcare Information Management System Society. I've been in that society now for a few years. I've reached up to the level of a fellow, where I'm able to participate on their privacy and cybersecurity board, the professional certification board. the informatics team. I'm also the professional development chair in my local HIMSS Chicago chapter. So these are the societies that I belong to and the positions that I have, the board positions that I have, again, with the goal of learning, growing, participating, contributing, and giving back. And the reason this give back flame burns so strong is because you're talking to a young man born in the 70s, raised in the 70s and 80s in Charleston, West Virginia. And it's a great place to raise children and to retire. But if you're between a child and retirement age, I would probably make a left and head in a different direction. And the reason I say that is because you want to be able to grow and flourish and have an opportunity for various careers and things like that. And it's just it wasn't present there at that time. And so I made it my life's mission to go away to college, to leave and to go out and build something. However, getting out was the challenge. So I went to everyone I could possibly could go to, teachers, people, speakers who would come and speak at the school and at the library and various facilities about going to college and having careers and doing other things and traveling. And everyone that I spoke with gave me so much of their time. They gave me any bit of time that they had, whether it was a piece of advice, whether it was a field trip somewhere. Anytime anyone was willing to spend some amount of time with me, give me some advice, I greatly appreciated it and used it to my advantage to help elevate myself to where I am today. And without any of those people, I probably wouldn't be sitting here doing this interview with you right now, this podcast. So that's why I have such an addiction to give back, because you never know what a few words of advice or a few times spent with some youth, some youngster, someone who's curious, someone who's interested, you never know how that's going to impact them, propel them, elevate them, or change their lives. You just don't know. You never know who's watching you or who's paying attention to you. If you're behind a microphone, in front of a camera, doing a speech, doing a lecture, doing a whatever event or engagement. So I'm always aware of that. I'm always grateful and I'm always thankful for that, because those helped me. I'm going to give back and help those others. So that's why that give back addiction occurs and that flame burns so strong, because I received help. So I'm going to give it back.
Yeah, just keep passing it down. And then hopefully for the future generations as well, we'll do the same.
That's the hope.
Has there been a particular piece of advice or a mentor you've had that's resonated with you most? Or I'm sure you've probably got a few examples.
Probably being the lifelong learner. Never stop learning and growing. That was probably the main thing. And that's why I do that, right? Because it's, remain curious, remain hungry, and there's always more and something to learn. It's like, treat learning and life like a vitamin, right? You need it every day. That was advice I was given, and I haven't abandoned that as of yet. And I don't see me doing that anytime soon.
And if you could give advice to your younger self before starting in your respected position, what would that advice be and why?
If I could give advice to my younger self, I would say be more aggressive and remain that way. I was hungry early on. I was hungry younger, but I didn't actually set it out in a plan so I could make definitive steps and actually check off milestones. It wasn't that way. It was just this pure hunger, which simply said, you know what, I got to get out and I got to do something. I got to make something happen. I'm not going back. I'm not going back home. I'm going to get to school and then I'm moving on from there. So I had the hunger and I had the vision, but I didn't have the plan. So I would say, you know, continue to have that hunger, continue to have that vision, but map it off into definitive steps and milestones where you can measure and keep track a little sooner than later in life. That's what I would say. Because right now that's the advice that I give to others when they talk about certifications and credentials and things like that. It's, you have to map it. You need to be able to measure it, right? Measure it and think about it as you go forward. Because when you turn back and look, you want to be able to actually see the storyline and tell that storyline and have others be able to possibly potentially leverage your pathway as well.
I guess in a way, like reflecting as well, right, on what you've been doing, what you've gone through, and then using that experience going forward as well. I think that definitely helps too.
Absolutely, 1,000%. It's repeated, right? Don't think I know for sure I'm not the only one out here trying to make this happen and trying to do it. I'm not the only one that wants to get away from home and not go back and go build something strong that they can actually help others achieve as well. Of course. So you build it and you share it, but you build it open, you build it definitive, you map it out, you have a plan, you have some structure. You don't have to overdo any of it. None of it needs to be overdone. It just needs to be done comfortably and completely so that it can be explained and articulable to anyone who's willing to listen. And there are those who always want to listen and understand.
Yeah. Now, before we end, we'd like to do a short quick fire round. So these are a short group of questions that we've put together. And yeah, we'd like to just dive into them. So the first one being, if you had to choose one type of food to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be? Latin or Chinese food? Off the bat, I'd probably say Chinese food, personally.
You know, I'm very close to saying Chinese. I'm very close, but I'm gonna go with Latin, just because I need the tomatoes, I need the sauce,
nice.
I need that. I'm a fan of both. I'm a huge fan of both, and I've done some global travel to around to sample the goods outside of North America. But I'm gonna go with Latin. I can make a Latin diet the rest of my life.
Do you have a favorite dish?
You know, I really don't have an actual favorite because I like so many. I like so many, whether it's in Mexico City or if it's somewhere in Brazil, if it's in Rio or anywhere in Brazil, I just love the Latin dishes. Oh man, it's great. Not too hot though. Not too hot or spicy. I like the flavor. I want it to be flavorful. Not a hot and spicy guy, but I just love it.
So you may have already answered this one based off that, but if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
It's a toss-up between Singapore and Brazil. It's a toss-up. They are both great places to live. I'm still impressed and amazed how Singapore has built all of that they have on that little island. It's simply amazing. But it is, and their food is great. Their food is great as well. I'm going to go with Brazil. I've been to, what are the three places in Brazil I've been to? What's the cat? I can't remember the cat. Well, there's Rio, there's Brasilia. I'm forgetting the third city. I can't even remember the third city I've been to in Brazil. Oh, well, I'll remember it after the interview's over. But I'll go with Brazil and eating Latin food. The weather, the food, the people, I'm all good.
Finally, what are your hobbies and do you participate in any volunteering efforts?
Well, yeah, the hobbies and the volunteer efforts are the some of them are the societies and board and committee positions that I mentioned. However, when I'm not doing any of that we've already discussed, I do have two children, ages 13 and 11, and they are involved in sports. And I do coach their sports. They play baseball, softball, and basketball. And even though they wish I would just pass out bottles of water and go sit down in the stands, I simply refuse to do that. And I've told them repeatedly why. You only get to coach your kids' youth sports for a blink of an eye. And once it's gone, it's gone, and you're not going to get it back. And I just really don't care to be one of those dads sitting years from now saying, I wish I had done something. You know, I'm sure I will. I can't do it all. But if I'm aware of something and it's in my face and I enjoy it, I'm definitely going to do it. But they don't really care for me to coach their teams because I don't treat them any differently than I do the other players. And I'm not supposed to. They're just players on the team. They have to get in line and step it up just like anyone else would. So that's probably why. But I coach their sports. And when I'm not doing that, I actually, as a sort of a branch or an avenue from the healthcare industry, I do participate on the health and safety team in my local community. I'm part of they call it the CERT team, Citizens Emergency Response Team. And we practice health and safety tactics in case there's an issue where, you know, we aid and abet either the fire department, police department, emergency response teams, things like that. We help with that. And that's actually motivated me to become an EMT next year. Talking about the lifelong learning and an additional hobby, that sort of that marriage has come together. I've actually researched and done my homework, and on my 2024 calendar, I have EMT listed. So we'll see if that happens. Right now, it's listed. I have the times. I have the time frame. I have the cost. I know the location, the facility. And I would like to become that. Only reason I want to become an EMT is because I'm not one already. I just want to learn, right? I just want to learn. I want to learn and be useful, number one. Number two, I coach all of these youth sports. You never know if something can happen, what may happen at a youth event or youth sport, as well as being with, you know, doing the health and safety tactics, managing the parades and things like that. You never know what can happen, right? So you want to be able to help, to assist. And so that's why I'm motivated to become an EMT. Also, because you've interviewed my colleague and friend, Mr. Scott Sloan, who while he's not doing Kindrel work, he's a paramedic. While I'm not ready to go that far yet, because that's pretty serious business, I'm going to take a stepping stone and go with an EMT. I haven't let him know that yet, but when he hears this, he'll know, or I'll tell him first.
I'm amazed you have so much time on your hands. It sounds like you have 30-hour days.
I was just going to say that. That's very true.
Well, guys, it's funny. I get asked that. You just fit it in, right? All of those societies, they don't meet at the same time. They don't need the same amount of time from you. They do different things. They have different calendars. Sometimes they do overlap and bump into one another. But for the most part, you'd be surprised They really don't. They come in phases. They really do come in phases. All of them. They do. Even in addition to the youth sports, the only thing it's nonstop and it's a constant is obviously my kids aren't going anywhere and my day jobs aren't going anywhere. And Steve's pretty you know, he's pretty lax with us at the board of directors. he's not working us too hard, too strong. But when he calls, we come.
Perfect. Well, we'd like to extend a big thank you to you for joining our show. It was certainly great not only learning more about you and your career, but definitely being inspired, you know, by you and your views on, you know, lifelong learning, mentoring. I mean, as we've said, I'm not quite sure how you fit everything in, but it's so inspiring to see how you balance everything and like the different aspects and the different things that each activity and, you know, hobby gives you is truly amazing. So for those that would like to keep up to date with what you do and would like to get in touch, where can they reach you? For example, LinkedIn, socials, website, etc.
I am available on LinkedIn and Twitter. Those are my most used platforms. I do have a presence on Instagram. Don't do a lot on it, but yeah, feel free to reach out to me on number one, LinkedIn, number two, Twitter, number three, Instagram.
And to all our listeners, we look forward to bringing even more topics and special guests into the fold for you very soon. Please stay tuned and stay safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.